Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
In the past few revival services, I taught you regarding the manifestation, the physical manifestation of the glory of God when God comes and visits people and what happened. And you can go back to listen to those teaching CD or MP3. I try to go very slowly so that you all understand what's going on. What happened is in the Bible. It's not just man's idea, but it's in the Bible. We want the Bible to be our boundary, our principle that we follow. Our church believes in the whole Bible, and the Bible is the foundation of this church. That's why everything we do, everything we believe, we must find out that it's in the Bible. And not only that, we need to really believe in the Bible in a balanced way. We will not try to twist the teaching in the Bible to fit with our own thinking. Before I share more about the manifestation of the glory of God, when the glory of God comes down to touch people, I would like to give some introduction here that the Lord wants me to speak to you. In fact, I love all of you so much, and I really want to see my brother and sister who are related to me in the church to really prosper spiritually, financially, physically, and emotionally. And I want to see all of you reach to the maximum level that God wants you to be. I thank God that many years ago, He led me to meet the fire of God or the Holy Spirit, the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit. Many years ago, I was thinking that, is it possible that we can have abundant life? I almost could not believe in what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10. That the thief does not come except to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come so that you can have abundant life and have it to the full. At that time, many years ago, when I was a young believer and I did not know the Holy Spirit, I did not believe that it can happen. I think it's just a theory. And not only that, I see the scripture saying that we're gonna keep growing from glory to attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And I couldn't believe that that can happen. But now I believe that it can happen. And what I share with you today, what I really want to exhort you and encourage you today, is something that come out from my own personal experience and my own discovery of what the Bible say and what the Holy Spirit can do. As you know, if you are a member of this church, you can see that your pastor is really on fire for the move of God or for the fire of God. I never stopped talking about the fire of God all of these years. Why? But before we go into that direction, I want to say that, don't take me wrong, as a Christian who believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the Son of the living God, he was born of a virgin. He died on the cross to pay for our sin. And he was raised from the dead on the third day. We believe Christ, the Messiah. He is the Son of the living God. That is the foundation of our salvation. That if we die, we will go to heaven and we don't have to pay for our sin. But after we believe in Jesus, after we accepted Jesus into our heart, we don't die right away. We are not like that thief on the cross, on one side of Jesus Christ, that he would die in a few minutes. We're still living on earth. And we still have a mission to do. We have a great commission to fulfill. And God expects us to be victorious people. He wants us to be a victor, not a victim. He wants us to be more than conquerors, not a defeated one or defeated fool. He wants us to become more and more like Christ. He wants us to live a life on earth here that's full of victory, full of glory, full of faith, full of love, full of joy, full of strength, and save as many souls as we can, and fulfill the purpose of God in our life. God doesn't want us to live here day by day, doing nothing, and being a young, immature, baby Christian for the rest of our life. My heart desire is to see all of you grow spiritually, to become mature Christians. Very effective, very fruitful, use of God, powerful people that can check your neighbor, check your school, your classroom, the city, and the nations. That is the will of God for our life. Definitely, we cannot miss or we cannot ignore the foundation of the Christian life. That is to believe in Jesus. We need to repent of our sin every single day. I want to make sure that we know that, all of us know that I'm not skipping or missing those things, that we need to repent if we sin against God. We need to really fear God, and we need to really live a life of pleasing God, repenting of our sin every single day. Not only that, we are not skipping or missing the foundation of knowing the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. We need to be studious and diligent in studying the Word of God. If we don't know the Word of God, we will not have a boundary. When you get out of the boundary, the devil can attack us. When we are living in the imbalanced life because we don't know the Word, we're going to be defeated. So definitely, the Word of God gives us the mental framework. It renews our mind to know what is right and what is wrong, and what is the boundary, so that we can make a decision to repent and say, I'm going to stay in that boundary. If I go out of boundary, I'm going to be in trouble. I give you example. The Bible say, no adultery or fornication. It means that I know that I need to live a life that I'm faithful to only my wife and no other woman in my life. I know the boundary. If I don't know that, I may make mistake. So we need to know the Word. We need to repent. We need to fellowship with other believers. We need to really fellowship with God. We need to be in the local church and get involved in the community so that we will grow spiritually. But why are we talking about the file of God? Since 1997, I have tremendous experiences of the importance of the fullness of the fire of the glory of God in the end time church. And I asked God one day, why you allow me to have these experiences? And he said that, so that you can preach and teach from experiences, not just only from theory in the Bible. The Bible say that the glory of the latter temple, mean the end time church, shall be greater than the former. The word glory or kabod mean the thick presence, the thick tangible presence of the Holy Spirit. That is the Hebrew language mean. We are welcoming the thick presence of the glory of the presence of God. And when the presence of God or the fire of God shows up and touch our life, something happened. Why do we need that? Why? I told so many believers and many leaders in the church, including my wife, so many times that I told Pastor Da, I could not go back to the old way anymore. I could not go back to be a believer who just believing in the Word, knowing the Word, repentance and fellowship, but lack the Holy Spirit. Lack the infilling of the fire of God and keep being filled with the fire of God all the days of my life. I could not go back there. Even you try to give me $1 million right now and say, Pastor Lau, could you go back to your old tradition and don't welcome the Holy Spirit in your life and in this church? I will say to you, I'm sorry, $1 million cannot buy me. I'm not selling myself for that kind of thing. Why? Because I have experience that when the fire of God touched me, when the Holy Spirit come into my life, some wonderful things happen to me. And wonderful things can happen to you. It may not happen overnight. It may take many months, many years, but we're going to move from glory to glory to glory to glory. And I pray that you're going to get this message tonight. I pray that this will not be just a theory or will be something just tickle your ear and you leave this room and nothing change in your life. I pray that it will be a message the Holy Spirit will speak to you and you will have the same experience I have. God wants His church to be filled and to welcome the Holy Spirit fully. Welcome the Word of God fully and welcome the Holy Spirit fully. The Holy Spirit is a gentle person. He will not push His way in. We need to welcome Him. He will do as much as you want to, but if you say, no, stop here, you can do so much. He's going to stop there and He will not do anymore. He will never force anybody. You need to fully say, God, do fully to me. I'm willing for you to do anything in my life. When the fire of God touch us and fill us, there are many things happen. I want to summarize this way. Actually, all in the Bible. The first thing is revival. Revive us to fall in love with Jesus. When the Holy Spirit touches, He come in to glorify Jesus. You know, 10 years ago, I thought I loved Jesus already. But now I look back, since the fire of God touched my life, I love Jesus even more than before. Every day I wake up and I tell Him, I love you, I love you. This is not love by theory, but it's really love for my heart. I really think about Jesus all day long. I love Jesus. That relationship is so strong and strong each day because of the Holy Spirit that is working in my life. Every Sunday, especially Sunday afternoon, when I lay hand on people and the Holy Spirit touch me, I feel more that I love Jesus. I fall in love with Jesus. Have you ever asked your own soul whether you love Jesus more and more each day? That's the first thing that happened. Revive. Loving, falling in love with Jesus. The second thing that happened by the fire of God is that the fire of God come in and cleanse the things that you should not have. Doubt, sickness, demonic power, anything that you don't have, you should not have, and you should not keep it in your life. It will burn those things out to move you from glory to glory to glory to glory to become like Christ. It's about change. The fire of God is about change, getting rid of the bad things and putting in the things from heaven. Get rid of hatred and put in love. Get rid of doubt and put in more faith. Get rid of bad language or bad thoughts and put in the positive, faith-filled and heavenly thoughts. Get rid of demonic power and fill with the glory of God. Get rid of sickness and diseases and fill in with the life of God, the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That will keep you, sustain you. Don't think that if you are 65, you get old. And I am retiring. I'm old. I have no strength. You should think this way. Even you are old in age, but you seem strong. You're going to preach the gospel until you die, 90 years old. You're still walking around with the strength and with the glory of God. And you're not going to get old like that. A weak, like people who just sit on the wheelchair and rock their rocking chair. You're going to be strong because of the fire of God sustain you to be healthy and strong all the days of your life. The fire of God come in to give you life, the life of God. How many times when I lay hand on people, God spoke to me. I am imparting the life of God into them right now. So many times, but I didn't say it. God not only change you from glory to glory to glory and make you fall in love with Jesus. Not only that, He want to empower you and anoint you to go out and preach the gospel. The fire of God is about souls. It's about being on fire for God. You are not ashamed of the gospel and you can talk about Jesus in front of people and you're not ashamed to tell people that Jesus is real. You can go out of the four walls of the church and tell people that Jesus loved you. And tell them the good news, not the condemnation news. Because the fire of God will burn all the religion and all the legalism in your life out of you. The fire of God is for souls. And that's why the devil doesn't want the church to have the fire of God. Because he knows that if you are revived, you will fall in love with Jesus, and you change from glory to glory, you become on fire, you look more like Jesus, you're going to be a living testimony that your friend in the classroom, your neighbor see you and say, why he is so different? I want to know your God. But the devil doesn't want that. He wants you to be immature, weak, sick, full of doubt, and full of depression, and full of poverty, so that your neighbor will look at you and say, I don't want your God. You don't look different from me. The devil doesn't want you to have the fire of God, because you're going to be a shame of the gospel, and you dare not tell people about Jesus Christ. The last thing that God showed me, I have this conversation with Pastor Da so many times. Pastor Da keep reminding me, make sure that we teach the Bible. I say, yes, we teach the Bible. We're going to continue to go into the Word of God. Our church believe in the Word of God. But you know, this is my experience. After I got touched by the fire of God. For many years, I become a Christian 26, 27 years ago. At the beginning part of my Christian life, I know the Word. I know I should love my enemy. I know I should not say bad things. I know that I should be on fire for God. But I could not do it. I know all the good things that I should do, but I could not do it. But since 1997, since the fire of God come into my life, it's like the hand in the glove. And that hand move on the inside. And I don't want to commit adultery. I cannot even entertain that thought that I'm going to cheat my wife. I feel like yucky, like, yeah. I don't want you to think about it. You know why? Because, not because I'm a holy man, not because I'm a great man, but because the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, moving. When you are so filled with the Holy Spirit, you decrease. And He increases. And then His character, His fruit, His way is going to become more and more stronger, stronger in you. Could not sit still, want to give, want to bless people, want to love people. You just inside the hand in the glove. Sometimes I sit in the hospital and I feel the presence of God. I feel the fire of God burning on the inside of me. I just want to stand up and go and tell, encourage somebody. I cannot even entertain bad thoughts. When the devil start to speak to me something bad, I shut it up and say, no, I cannot. Because the Holy Spirit on the inside of me began to really, really move and say, I don't know how to explain this, you know. I hope you understand that it's like the hand means Jesus inside you, move on the inside. It's not religion anymore, but He Himself is moving on the inside to become holy and righteous and loving Jesus and walk in the righteous way. You don't need to force yourself to be righteous, but it's a nature inside. It's a second nature on the inside of you. It's fun to live a Christian life that way. It's so good to live a Christian life that way. Instead of trying to follow the law. Instead of trying to do this and that, but you're not trying anymore. But it becomes your nature. You cannot even sin anymore. I don't want to sin because the Holy Spirit inside me, moving on the inside, is wonderful. Amen. My dear brother, sister, the biggest enemy of all the things that I share with you today, two biggest enemy. Number one, pride. I'm okay. I don't need to change. And number two, overfed. Lack of hunger. Last Sunday when I was standing there and worshiping God, God was speaking to me. Son, tell the whole congregation that every single Christian in the world, no exception, including myself, including any great preacher in the world, must make a decision that I am a child of God. I'm still far away from becoming like Jesus. I don't want to stay here. I want to move on to the next level. I am desperate to move on. I want to grow. I want to go to the next level of God. God, I press in. God, change me. God, I'm going to run to you. You can do something to me. I want to change today better than yesterday. I want to become more like Christ. Anytime Christians start to be lukewarm, and they think that they're okay. They sit back and say, I know a lot of Bible. I'm being a Christian for 20 years. I know everything. I'm fine. I'm a good Christian. I go to church. And I don't need to change anymore. I don't have to press into God anymore. I don't need to be hungry. That is dangerous. That is a lie of the enemy. To keep you where you are and you never grow. We need to always feel like we are children. We need to grow. We need to get going with God. Run with God. Run the marathon. Run the race with God and keep going. Keep being hungry to keep move on with God. I pray that the members in the churches that I take care will be like that. And I will do my best to set good example to you. That we all will not sit still. We're going to be on fire. We want to move on with God. We want to change. When you listen to the sermon, you say, yes, more. I'm taking right now. Change me right now. I want to learn more. Yesterday when I was listening to Joyce Meyer in Tacoma Dome, I said, yes, I just listened to every word she said and say, amen. I was really eating everything she said. Because I want to change. Because I know that I still have a long way to go to become like Christ. The Word fully and the Holy Spirit fully. This is introduction. To prepare you. What the Bible say when the Holy... I'm going to read a few scripture and show you when the Holy Spirit fall on you or fill you up or the fire of God come upon your life, what can happen to you? Let me share a few things. Number one, you can see visions and dreams and you can have prophetic revelation. The revelation of God, you may see vision, you may see dream, you may see things that God show you. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, 17 and 18. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. So when the spirit come upon you, you get revelation from God. You begin to speak the things that come from heaven. We call prophesy. Speak things from heaven. And your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servant, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. It's wonderful. I just talked to my brother-in-law about a brand new believer in a remote place in Asia. Came into his church. He called me 2 days ago. He was so excited. He said, this woman got into trouble. And her friend brought her to church. And the presence of God was so strong. God, people could get touched by God. She walked in, never read the Bible, never went to church. This is her first time in the church. And the Holy Spirit came down and touched her. And she got saved first. She gave her life to Jesus that Sunday morning. God came down, touched her. She saw the vision of Jesus that morning. And she totally gave her life to Jesus. And the way she described Jesus, exactly what the Bible says. How he looked like in the book of Revelation. Should we expect to see visions? Should we expect to see dreams when the Holy Spirit come down? We should. God can show us vision from heaven. Revelation from heaven. What's going on? Amen. Everyone say visions and dreams. Vision is the picture that you see while you are awake. Dreams are picture that you see while you are sleeping. And I believe that in the end time like this, God is going to reveal more visions and dreams to the church. Not only that, when the Spirit of God touch you, what happened, and this is also my personal experience, is you may be weeping. You crying like a baby. I don't know how many of you experienced that. I have it many times in my life. Sometimes when God touch you, you feel repentant. You just feel that, God, I'm so full of sin. And I want you to forgive me. And suddenly you weep and cried of repentance, cried of like, God, please forgive me. That's one way to cry. When the Holy Spirit touch you, you see yourself so dirty with sin. And you want God to forgive you and cleanse you up. And you cry and weep and weep. And sometimes the weeping and crying can be the sign of, number two, is a sign of deliverance. That God is cleansing something inside you. Get rid of something so it just come out from you by crying out. Oh, sometimes God put the burden in your heart so strong for the lost soul, they're going to go to hell if they don't repent. And you just cry like a intercessory crying and weeping for the lost world. I have all this experience myself. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 verse 27, because your heart was responsive and you humble yourself before the Lord. You see, your heart needs to be responsive. If your heart say, I don't care what you say, I don't care what about the glory of God, the fire of God, I don't care, then forget about it. You're not going to get anything from God because God never forced you. You humble yourself. You need to be humble before God. When you heard what he spoke against this place and its people, because you humbled yourself before me and tore your robes and wept in my presence. The Bible talks about wept, weeping in the presence of God. I remember in 1997, I went to a meeting. And all, that is a pastoral meeting. Everyone was pastor and pastor wife. All pastor. And then this evangelist asked everyone to stand up. And he didn't even touch or lay hand. He just say, fire like this. I don't know what happened to other people, but for me, I was on the floor under the chair. And I was crying, weeping nonstop, like keep coming out of me nonstop for half an hour. While he was preaching, I was still crying really loud, not quietly. Like this. And I know God was cleansing me. Another time, actually many times, I'll give you one more example. Another time I went to a house meeting. This evangelist from Argentina lay hand on me. Actually, I was sitting on the couch because in the home, and she came to me and lay hand on me. I feel the presence of God shoot into me. Suddenly, I was crying like a baby. And at that time, God told me, I am crying to you for the lost soul. And I sensed the grief of God for people who sin and they're going to go to hell. And God just keep crying and crying for people who are lukewarm, for people who disobey God. And I just feel the concern, the care of God upon people's soul in this world. And I was crying for half an hour that day under the couch. And the whole house, like, what is going on with this doctor? Why he's crying like a baby? My hair just went out of place. When I got out, my eye was swollen because I cried like a baby by the Holy Spirit. It's not from me. It's from God. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit touch you, you don't only see the vision. You don't only fall under the power. You see dreams or you cry or weep. When the Holy Spirit touch you, you may be shaking in the presence of God. Look at what the Bible says when the presence of God come. Acts chapter 4 verse 31. After they pray, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The whole building was shaken. You think if the building can be shaking, you think our body can be shaking? Yes. We can be trembling and shaking in the presence of God. Daniel chapter 10. When Daniel met the Lord that day, a hand touched me. Chapter 10 verses 10 to 11. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed. I like that. I like God to call us highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you. And stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Daniel was trembling in the presence of God when God showed up that day. Can people shake and tremble? Yes, in the presence of God. Don't be surprised when you come to church. And sometimes when you see people get touched by God, they tremble. They shake. I'm not talking about shaking in the flesh. You just act shaking so that people will look at you and say, wow, he is touched by the Holy Spirit. That is shaking in the flesh, not by the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about real shaking by God. Amen? Amen. One more thing that I'd like to share. Besides seeing vision, dreams, shaking, trembling, weeping, falling under the power, all these things that can happen when God touch you. And God can touch you in your own bedroom. It doesn't have to be in here. God can touch you in the hotel. Amen. God touched Pastor Da. Thank God, no accident while she was driving. One time, God touched her. She was drunk in the Holy Spirit when she was driving to church many, many years ago. God touched me in my family room when I prayed to God, and God began to touch me. It can happen anywhere. But are you hungry to be touched by God and filled with the Holy Spirit? Last thing that I want to share tonight is called laughter. Laughter is the joy of the Lord. Do you know that our God is not a depressing God? He doesn't take Prozac, amitriptyline, nortriptyline, and trazodone. Our God is a joyful God. He laughed on His throne. Everything that looked difficult on earth is a piece of cake for God. He doesn't get depressed like us. And God wants to share that joy with us. And God wants to laugh through us. It's wonderful to have this laughter or the joy of the Lord. Yesterday when I was worshiping while Darlene Singh was leading worship in Tacoma, oh, I feel with the joy of God. I just stand smiling and I want to laugh, but I kind of don't want to bother people around me. They think that I'm crazy if I start to laugh like mad. So I have to hold back a little bit. But I was so full of joy. I want to laugh. I'm so happy. I don't know how many of you fall in love and still fallen in love with somebody. How many people have a girlfriend, somebody, and how many people? You don't raise hand if you have a wife. You don't raise hand. You're in trouble. I'm talking about wife, but anyone. You fall in love with somebody, which means your wife. You know what happens when you see somebody you love? You don't see that person and say, come again. No, you're happy to meet that person. You're happy to meet the person you love. Is that right? It's exciting. You don't want to hang up the phone. You want to talk all night with that person because you just fall in love. You just go banana for that person. You laugh. You have fun talking. Have fun emailing or text messaging or Facebook can come up who on the line right now. You go in the line and just talking back and forth and have good time. The same thing with God. When you meet God and you love God so much, when you meet God, He's such a good God. He is a merciful God. When you meet Him, it's wonderful to meet the wonderful person. And you know what? You want to laugh about it. You want to be joyful. You want to smile because you meet somebody who is so wonderful. Laughter is a physical manifestation of the touch of God inside your spirit. I hope I have time to share about laughter detail enough. I have two more sermons about laughter I'm going to preach on Sunday morning. I think it's good for the whole church. But tonight, just foundation about laughter. And I'm going to talk about medical benefit of laughter on one Sunday morning. I already got that message. I'm going to preach one day. Medical benefit of laughter. Better than go out to do treadmill. I'm serious. Make you healthy, young, and strong. Because the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. The Bible says, Psalm 16:11, you have made known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence. You will fill me with joy. Some people say laughter is from the devil. I don't think the devil is that dumb. Because if he gives you laughter and joy, he's dumb. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. The cheerful heart is a medicine. He doesn't want you to be healthy. He doesn't want you to have strength. I don't think in hell you will see laughter. In hell you will see crying and people suffer. But in heaven, people laugh. People have fun. People dance. People really happy in heaven. Laughter is from heaven. Amen. Amen. And we should be open to it. Amen. Let the joy of the Lord rise up. When you feel that the joy of the Lord come up, don't push it down. Just go ahead and laugh. Amen. especially in this kind of church, that people don't mind that you laugh. If you go to some church, maybe not. They will look at you like a weird person. But in this church, we don't mind you laugh because we know it's good for you. I tell a congregation one time that the Holy Spirit is compared to water. Water. The Bible says God wants to give us water and the water come out. When you laugh, it's like the water spill out of you and touch another person. If everyone laughs, the whole room filled with the water of the Holy Spirit. It's so wonderful. Healing can happen. Miracle can happen. And it's really contagious. I usually like at the end of the revival service because a lot of people already left. But only people who are hungry stay around by 10, 11 p.m. And at that time, God moves so strong and laughter start to happen and everyone around that area is going to be full of laughter. It's so wonderful to see God is moving. When the laughter touch you, what happened? It will destroy your religion, religiosity. It will destroy your stiffness of being a Christian. Like, go to church and cannot smile. Being so stiff, like a starchy, 3+ starch on your shirt. Cannot even smile. Come to church every Sunday. Like. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I see a lot of people never smile. Their Christian life is like, Are you taking Trazodone or something? So stiff, so religious. Laughter destroy legalism. You become like a kid again. Amen. Look like a kid. Laughter fill you with faith. Because when you laugh at the problem and say, hey, devil, you throw a problem to me? I laugh about it. Ha, 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 ha. It's a piece of cake. My God is bigger than your problem. Devil, get out of here. It's wonderful. I want to see every Christian filled with laughter. Amen. The Bible talk about laughter a lot. Luke chapter 6:21. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. I mean hunger for the things of God. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. After you repent and you weep, now God will make you laugh. The Bible says in Psalm 126 verses 1 to 6, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, brought back the members of the church, Zion means the church, out of captivity of the devil. We were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us and we are glad. When you know that God is so good and He has done great things for you, you are glad and you can laugh. Sometimes I laugh intentionally. God is so good. Sometimes I laugh in the Holy Spirit because God is so good and fill me up and He fill me with His joy and laughter. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Since I have been filled with laughter, I rarely get sick. I rarely get sick. I'm serious. I know I'm going to live a long life. I'm going to be healthy and strong when I turn 80 years old. I'm still traveling and preaching the gospel. Because the laughter is in me. The joy of the Lord. Amen. The Bible says that for the kingdom of God is not of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whenever the Holy Spirit show up, gonna be full of joy, not depression. Sometimes you weep, but you weep with joy. You just cry with joy. Amen. Acts chapter 2 verse 28. You have made known to me the ways of life, and you will make me full of joy in your presence. When you get into the presence of God, you're filled with joy. Acts chapter 13 verse 52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Everyone in this room to set a goal. I'm going to be filled with laughter. I'm going to be filled with joy because joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Even Sarah, God made her laugh. The Bible says in Genesis 21 verse 6, and Sarah said, God has made me laugh and all who hear me will laugh with me. God can make you laugh. The Bible says, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 4. In the book of Leviticus chapter 23, I don't have time to read the whole passage. Talking about the Feast of Tabernacle. In the Feast of Tabernacle, the Jews were instructed to celebrate for 7 days. They make booths and they stay in the tent or in the booth. And in that time, God commanded them this way. The Bible says, you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. In other words, in those 7 days of the Feast of Tabernacle, everyone had to dance and be joyful and eat and have fun. God did not want them to be sad and sorrowful. And then in Nehemiah chapter 8 that we read a while ago, Ezra was celebrating with the Jewish people the Feast of Tabernacle. And he said, stop weeping and crying, but rejoice in the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Bible talks about joy in the Feast of Tabernacle. The Bible commands us to rejoice in the presence of God. Now look at the time of Jesus in John chapter 7. I'm going to read to you. On that day of the Feast of Tabernacle, Jesus says something very powerful. Jesus say like this in John chapter 7. At that time, you need to understand that the priest, the Jewish priest, will carry the container full of water. And then they will pour that water on the altar. That is the ceremony of the Feast of Tabernacle at that time. While they are walking and celebrating the Feast of Tabernacle, they will sing a song. And joyfully and dancing and joyfully. And this is a song they sing. In Isaiah 12 verse 3. This is the song they sing. Therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Let me read one more time. Therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. So Jesus tried to explain to them the relationship between joy and water. And who is water? John chapter 7, verse 37 and 39, while Jesus was watching them singing, dancing, laughing, and celebrating the joy of God. He said, on the last day, that great day of the feast, which means the Feast of Tabernacle, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, the well of salvation is your spirit or your heart. Will flow rivers of living water. Flow out. The living water out of your heart or out of your well. The well of, you know that your spirit is a container. Contain the Holy Spirit. Contain the water. But this he spoke concerning the spirit. So what is water symbolic of? The Holy Spirit. Whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus compared the water to the Holy Spirit. Inside us we have the Holy Spirit. And what gonna draw the Holy Spirit out? Draw the anointing out to flood all over you. Joy. When you begin to laugh, when you begin to rejoice in the Lord, something happens supernaturally, spiritually, in the spirit realm, that you open up the well. And then the well of salvation open up, the water of joy come up and start to fill you. You fill with anointing and something happened in your life. The change happened in your life. Amen. How many people know the story of Isaac in Genesis chapter 26? Abraham, Isaac's father, dug many, many wells for his animals, for his flock. Or herds. And one day the Philistines, which are symbolic of demons, come and put stone into the well, no more water. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 26, then Isaac sow in that land, reap in the same year 100-fold. You see, without sowing, no reaping. If you sow more, you reap more. He sow, and God blessed him to reap 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. I like that. I like to change the word. Then Pastor Lau sow in that land and reap in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed Pastor Lau. Then Phil Fisher sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed Phil Fisher. Amen. You should put your name in there. Amen. Amen. When you read the Bible, you put your name in there. The man began to prosper and continue prospering until he became very prosperous. Oh, I like to put my name in there. For he had possessions of flock, possession of herds, and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistine had stopped up all the wells which his father's servant had dug in the days of Abraham his father. They had filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the name which his father has called them. Who dug the well of salvation there? The well of water. Isaac. How many people know what Isaac mean? Isaac mean laughter. Amen. Let's look back to Isaiah 12:3. Therefore, with laughter, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. My dear brother and sister, the devil, demons, Philistine of today has stolen the joy of the Lord from the church too long. Pluck up the well of your salvation. Many Christians walk into the church with long face, defeated, problems after problems, divorce, kids run away, get into drugs, people complain of being poor, don't have enough money to pay bills, and that's happened in the church. Why? Because they don't know how to have the joy of the Lord to draw the well, the water from the well of salvation. The Holy Spirit who brings all the blessing of Abraham to the church. Who bring the blessing of Abraham to the church? Galatians chapter 3 verses 13 to 14 say, the Holy Spirit, if you obey him. If God touch you and you feel joy, don't hold back. Just laugh. Just have joy to draw the water out. Draw the Holy Spirit out. Let the water of the Holy Spirit spill all over you. Just flood you. Just wet you everywhere. It's a wonderful experience. It's a wonderful things in the church. It's a good things in the church. Amen. I try to explain to you to see that this is wonderful. Don't look down on it. Don't think that it's not important. It's important for the church. Amen. And I need to be touched by God too. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit too. So when I have a chance, I'm going to drink. I'm going to drink from the well. I open up and draw the water from the well and drink too myself. Keep drinking. So I press in. I draw. I really start to seek God and get hungry and draw the water from heaven to fill up my life again. Ah, so wonderful. Nothing better than to be touched by the fire of God. Amen. The God of heaven touch you and give you laughter. You get drunk. You love Jesus more. You change from glory to glory. Yes, you still need the word. Yes, you still need fellowship. You need to repent. But the fire will help you. Amen. Touch the well here. The well. Touch your well. The inner being. Draw the water. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Draw. Ha, ha, ha. Don't be too starchy. Ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ho. Ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ho. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Don't be too serious. Don't be too religious. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Close your eyes. Don't look at other people. Ha, ha, ha. Ho, 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 ho. Touch your tummy. Touch your tummy. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Yes, Lord. Lord, touch Jenny. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha. Ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. Ha, ha, ha. Don't use your brain. This is not about brain, not about IQ. This is the Holy Spirit. Spiritual thing. It's not about evaluation by your brain. Fire! Fire! The fire of God. Fire! Fire! The cheerful heart is the medicine to your body. Heal! Fire! Cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Cooperate. Ha ha ha! Ha ha ha! Ho ho! Cooperate! Ha ha ha! Ha 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 ha! Fire! Feel! Feel! Fire! Now! Feel! Fire! Feel right now! Feel right now! Fire! More fire! More fire! More fire! Fire! More fire! More fire!
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much,